Our Father, we come to you again this day, and we thank you for this precious book we'll open and for the Word of God that you speak to our hearts through. We pray now that you anoint the message, anoint the listeners, bring a communication between the pew and the pulpit together that we may hear from you, leave this place, and be used for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. And, you know, it's an interesting thing when you're studying Scripture, how every once in a while there's one word that jumps out. And around that word, doctrines can be formed. And that's what happened here in these verses. And I'm not going to read every one of the verses, but there's 24 verses in this chapter. But I'm going to read some and skip some and paraphrase some for the sake of time. Because you want to be out by 1 o'clock so you can eat. I know that. So in chapter 17 said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, said," and it's interesting, watch this, Elijah had to prophesy what God said. He knew that the inhabitants of the land were not going to like this when they found out he prophesied it, and God's word was true. They had no rain, therefore it would lead to a famine of some kind. And so, when in those days, those who were against the pleasure of others were very easily targeted by those, by hatred, if they thought they caused the misery that one would have. And God knew this, and he says to Elijah, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." He says, "Elijah, you get quickly away, hide yourself." And he said, "By the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. It's an amazing thing. God protected him there. You see, if Elijah had went there and there had been caravans of people going in and out taking him food, somebody would have seen it. But ever thought that raven. Ravens don't go feeding people, in case you don't know that. If you get hungry, don't even expect a raven to come and feed you. But here God says, "I've given some ravens desire," and flying every morning, flying in the afternoon, and seeing ravens fly over, didn't have anything to do whatsoever with what was going on. They just thought it was a bunch of birds flying. But they had food in the morning, food at night, and he said, "You have water at the brook." Well, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, verse 7, because there had been no rain in the land. The very nourishment he got from the brook that helped him, no doubt, to partake of the food is gone now. And then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering the sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me." Some people don't like that. Sound like talking to a dog, doesn't it? But no, this is good language, I guess, in that day. He said, "Fetch me." There, he said, the widow was gathering, and he said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil and cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said," go ahead and do what you were going to do, "but make me thereof a little bread first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Isn't God wonderful? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. It's an amazing thing to me that a lot of people nowadays use that to get rich off of, trying to get people to give money. But I want you to know, here was a need. God fit the need, and these people had enough to suffice, and that was it. It just didn't ever run out. They didn't build. She didn't build large plantations with it. She just had enough to live and go there, and they dip it out and looked empty. When they go back, the same amount to be there. I think it just replenished what was needed. It just kept being there. And then it says, and it came to pass after those things that the son of woman, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. Notice, and she said, Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son on what her sin was? But she had a conviction feeling here because this happened because of something happened in the past. He said to her, give me thy son. He took one up in his bosom, took him in his bosom, carried him up to the loft and where he abode, and laid him on the bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, he said, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself. Some people don't think God does think of it. Evidently, Elijah thought it happened that way, didn't he? He didn't understand why, but he knew God who could take life could also give life. And so, therefore, he was sure that whatever God did was a blessing here. And he stretched forth himself and child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come back to him again. Notice, let this child's soul come back to him again. And he said, the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, and of course he gave it back to his mother, and said, and the woman said in Elijah, verse 24, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. Now, there's one word I want you to look at in some of these verses. And I read all the verses to get a kind of a context of what's taking place. And that word is found in a number of places. Look with me in verse 4. He that be, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the river to the ravens to feed thee. Little five-letter word. There. T-H-E-R-E. And then I see also he says that because in verse 7, he said, and it came to pass while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then I see in verse 9, he tended to get up and go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and he said, and dwell there, T-H-E-R-E. Why? Because he said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Dwell there at Zarephath. Why? Because I've got a widow woman there at Zarephath to sustain thee. And he goes on, verse 10. And he arose and went, and the widow woman was there. Well, why shouldn't she be? That's where God said she'd be. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. That's the way you said, amen. 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 You see, get this now. Look what God is saying. Elijah didn't know in his own energy where it would happen, but he believed God. And God is showing us, if you get where God says go, if you get there, you'll be in the center of God's will. And everything God will take care of. And so here he goes on, of course, in verse 17, he said, it came to pass after those things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I want to talk about the word there for just a few minutes. This is a blessed word. Not too long ago, maybe a year or so ago, we was in one of these big malls. And when you get into these big malls, you like to know where you're going. You know the director sign they have sometimes in the mall, and they have all these things written down. And there was one we were looking at, and I walked over to see where to go to, and they always have a little sign somewhere. If you look, you are here. Don't tell me you don't go to the mall. You don't know where you're going. It has you are here. Amen? Then you look where you are here at, and then you decide where to go. And so you are here, and so I started walking down this way about 10 or 12 foot, and there was another sign there, and I looked, and there was a sign that said, you were there. At airport and back where you were. Well, I want to talk about this word there this morning from the scripture standpoint. And I'm amazed at the implication of this word. I'm amazed how God uses it and how it brings about a realization that when God said there is a place that He's going to do something, you have to be in that place to get the blessing. He's not going to change it. He's not going to tell you to be a place and over here you go somewhere else and get it. No, it's not going to be there. The word there is important. There's a real blessing in being positionally exactly where God wants me to be, where God wants you, where God wants us to be. There's a blessing in being there. Now, I'm encouraged and excited about the possibility of being there, which is in the center of God's will. The only thing worth being anywhere is in the center of God's will. I want to deal with this word there, as we see God giving it many times in these few verses and some other verses this morning. Someone said that this word occurred some 2,299 times in 2,083 verses. I don't know. I didn't count them. I just read that. I didn't have time to count them. I wouldn't count them if I had time. It's just too many to do that at this time. But I read that where there's that many times that word is used in 2,083 verses. Now, I know this, that well-defined words are important in communication with each other. If you and I are communicating, and I'm saying something, and you're hearing something different, we can't communicate. If I'm using a word in a way that it should not be used, sometimes I did. The other day, I used one about, I used understanding when I should have said misunderstanding. And everybody heard that and didn't hear nothing else what I said the whole day. But what I've said, that we have to the words, since we all know what words mean, why spend time defining them? We think we know what words mean. But at the same time, words form and refer to concepts that develop in the memory of a person listening. And the reason we have to understand words in their context is slightly different interpretation of words produce confusion to the person that's listening unless they understand what we're saying like we're saying it. Slightly different interpretation of words make understanding another person difficult unless we understand exactly what the words that we use mean. We have to look at that many times. While one is talking, others are also talking, and a lot of times we are hearing, but we're not listening. And there's no way in this world that you can carry a conversation if everybody's talking. Because we're not listening what we're doing. When we're talking, we're thinking about what we're going to say. So we're hearing, yes, but we're not listening. We're not getting what needs to be got at that particular time. So I want to give you three quick points on the word there. First of all, let's look at some examples about this word, and then we'll come back to the scriptures. This word there, I went and got my college dictionary out. College English book out. Also got dictionary out and looked it up. This word can be used as adverb, as adjective, pronoun, or noun. It is sometimes used as what they call an introductory word. That means it's used as a dummy word, like there were too many people in the building, or there are too many apples in the basket. That there is used as an introductory word. It's called a dummy word to help out in understanding the sentence, I guess. But when you look at the examples of this word and see how the Lord used it here in many different ways, look, if I would say to you, look over there, over where, over there. Well, over there don't mean much unless it's specific, does it? Where is there? Sit over there, over there. Well, point in the direction. If there's 15 chairs over there, which one you want to sit in? See, what we're talking about, a general direction or a specific place. It's a certain stage, a moment, point, or place. Someone say, I cannot agree with you there. That means that point or that situation or that condition, I can't agree with you. So it can be used in like like an adverb, used like a pronoun. The way it's used there, there are a lot of items in that place. There must be another way out. It can be used as an adjective. That person over there should know the way to town. It can be used as a noun. That place or point that be pointing to, he stopped and went on from there. That's understandable. If someone would say to you, hey, he or she is not all there. What do you think that means? I'll tell you what I think. They're saying, hey, they're mentally off a little bit. Amen? So I can see how that's used in different ways. There can be used to express feelings such as relief and satisfaction and sympathy and anger. You ever heard someone say, there, now I can have some peace. That's the way it's to be used. But now let's look at it as God has used it here and the promise has been made. There in Elijah the Tishbite is the second point. Elijah, you go study his life and the things that God says, what little we see, other than not what he did, was a man of passion, a man of prayer. He was a man of power and patience. he was protected by God. We see that. On a mission, God protected him, even now when family is coming in this land. He had a boldness in his testimony. You saw that with the prophets of Baal. He obeyed God's divine command. And he depended upon God's supply, his need. He didn't talk about, you know, I don't see Elijah saying, you know, I can't do what God says do because I don't think I'm financially afforded. No, he did what God said do, knowing that God would take care of him when he did that. He may not live as high as some, but God would take care of him. Because after all, it's what God does now that reaps rewards in eternity. And that means more than now. God said, Elijah, now listen, I'm going to send a famine. You tell the world this. And I'm going to tell you it's not going to rain. We know about 7 years. And I want to tell you this. You go hide yourself by the brook Cherith that's before Jordan. And I'm going to send, he said, verse 4, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee where? There. Now listen, folks. You can say what you want to. If Elijah went anywhere else, he'd have perished to death. You don't second guess God by saying, God, I don't know if I want to go there. I'd rather go here. No, when God says there, that's his will. And everything thrives around that. You can't change it. If you begin to change it, you're out of God's will. And so here, God says there. God gave Elijah specific directions for his provision. He gave him specific directions for his protection. And he said, Elijah, it'll be by the brook Cherith. And he said, that's where you'll be, over by Jordan. Now, he could expect such provisions and protection only if he obeyed God. You believe that? He could only expect God's protection and provision if he obeyed God. Then why is it we don't see that? We will doubt some things that God says and therefore not do it. Someone may say, well, where is there? There is wherever God has directed you or me. Here, there is not the place of our choosing. God chose the place. God set the protection. God set the examples. It is the place that God has chosen for us. So there represents the center of God's will at any given moment in our lives. There is where we learn to move from intimate knowledge to passionate love. There is the place where a divine drama waits to be played out in God's perfect will for our life. There is the place where carnal knowledge must be thrown out and strongholds are broken down through the true knowledge of God by being in the perfect will of God. And Paul tells us you learn that by studying this book. We learn God's perfect will for our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, the place where a divine drama waits to play out. This is the place where carnal knowledge must be thrown out. And again, those strongholds must be broken down. So there, and Elijah the Tishbite was where God provided for him in those days. Not only Elijah was faithful in proclaiming that there's not going to be any rain nor dew. He was faithful obeying God for the protecting hand of God to get him where he was supposed to be. God didn't take him up here and put him over there. He said, you go hide yourself there. Now, there's a time God took him to heaven in a chariot. But he could have done it now. But he said, no, Elijah, I wonder why. It's kind of a little hard to get to heaven than it is to the brook Cherith. They didn't have spacecrafts in those days. It took God to take him to heaven. But wait a minute. God could have lifted him up and towed him over there or carried him over there, or how you want to put it. But he didn't. He said, Elijah, you go. Where, Lord? There. Where's the bear? By the brook Cherith over by Jordan. Now, I want to tell you, there's others also had some theirs in God's Word. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 18 with me quickly, I've got to get these verses out. Some I'll read, some I won't. In chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, God said to Jeremiah, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord said, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Why couldn't God speak to him right where he was at? He did. He told him to go to Potter's house. He said, you go to Potter's house, and there I will speak to you my words. You see, he's going to do a dramatization to help him understand the word more than just hearing a voice or an inspiration of some kind. If you look over in 2 Kings with me, and down about chapter 5, verse 10, you see there, for Naaman was a muddy river called Jordan. And I like this, and I look through it, see how man, listen to what God says do, and then how you have to obey him if you're going to get it done. In verse 10, he said, Elijah sent a messenger to him. Naaman had leprosy, to shorten the story up. In verse 10, he said, Elijah sent a message to him and said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman said, he was wroth. And he said, behold, I thought, this sound like the evangelist healer today. Notice what Naaman thought would happen. He said, I thought that he would surely, talking about Elijah, would surely come to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He said, I thought the man of God would come before me and I'd stand and he'd call on God out loud and pop him on where the leper's at and it'd be gone. But instead of that, he said, go wash in Jordan 7 times. And he said in verse 12, aren't there other rivers? He named Abana and Parpar, rivers Damascus, that are all the waters of Israel, better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? No, God said, where to go, right? Wash in Jordan. What's too far? It's dirty? Makes no difference. I don't know why God said that. Probably to test his faith. And his servant came to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than that he said, wash and be clean. And he went and dipped himself in the water 7 times. And it says, the latter part of verse 14, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child. Oh boy, he did get a healing, didn't he? And he was clean. He returned to the man of God and he said, and he and his company came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel now. Therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. I know he's the true and living God. When he obeyed God, his flesh became like a little child. Then you take Moses in his Exodus chapter 33. Therefore Moses was at the cleft of the rock. God said to him, Moses said, show me your glory. God said, can't show you that. Some of what I will do. Come and stand, he says, there. Behold, there is a place by me, he says. You come and stand at that place. There is a place by me. And then God took him, put him in the cleft of the rock. He said, you can't see my face, but I'll let you see my back. And I just like to have a fit. Let me read it to you. He says, and it shall come to pass when my glory passes by, verse 22 of chapter 33, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And I wrote down, praise God, one day I shall see his face. Amen. I don't believe he's got a face. Don't tell me that. He can't be a personality without having a face. And Moses could not see it, but one day we will see it. We see it by faith now. We will see the reality of it. There for Joseph's family was the land in Goshen. Genesis 45, verse 10 and 11. He said, it's in Goshen where I'm going to nourish thee. There in Goshen. Word nourish meant to support, sustain, hold, supply, feed, take care of. They can't get it nowhere else. Israel was in captivity in Goshen in Egypt. And yet there, God took care of. Isn't that amazing? But they were in slavery, sure. But I guarantee you they fared much better than Egypt did. Though they were in captivity at the time. I thought about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here this morning in this church. We can sit in church when our hearts and mind are not really there. And some of you right now, if I could see your mind like God, your mind is not there here. It's gone, wavering. Whatever the reason may be, we're all that way. If I was sitting where you, I'd probably want more to hear me preach. I don't know. But I'm saying to you, isn't it amazing how we can sit in church and our mind and our thoughts are not there? When this is the most precious time to come together, but God who lives in us brings us together, God's people around His precious Word. Thank God Almighty to understand this there. There can be a tough place for God's people sometimes. For Joseph, there was a prison. For another time, he was betrayed by his brothers. Then another time, there was a time he was falsely accused of sexual misconduct and forgotten, according to Genesis 41. You see, there's a place of obedience. There's a place of preparation. There's a place of humbling where we gain intimacy with God as we obey His interactions of our life. Did you know that there was a place called there for Jesus? Look over Matthew chapter 27 with me. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 33 said, and when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of skull. Verse 33 said, Matthew 27, 33. Place called Golgotha. Verse 35 said, and they crucified him, parted his garments there. And in verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. Where? Calvary. They watched him there. If you look in verse 38, said, then were there two thieves there. Where's that there at? Calvary. Verse 45 said, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land. To define the darkness over the land was there at Calvary. And of course, over the land itself. In verse 47, some of them that stood there, the Bible says. That's Mount Calvary. Verse 55, and many women were there, beholding afar off. In verse 57, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. In verse 61, it says, and there was Mary Magdalene. In Matthew 28, in verse 10, the scripture said, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, as he spoke to tell the disciples this phrase. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Interesting. Why couldn't he just show himself where he was at? He said, no, ladies, you go tell the disciples that I'm going to Galilee. I will meet them in Galilee. There they shall see me. I'm going to tell you this. If they had not have gone, they'd have not seen him. But they did. And he worked it out. And even though Thomas, a little bit later, by the way, I thought a lot about Thomas lately. Thomas certainly was a doubting man. But you look at Thomas. Thomas had a lot of good characteristics about him too. That one time we look at that and forget all the others. But Thomas had some other good characteristics in the scripture. Look at the gospel. He just had that weak moment when Christ went around. And I thank God Almighty, Christ takes the time with us at that weak moment to help us when we need the help, like He did him there. So, to the human race, meet with Christ at Calvary. Because this is where Romans 10:9-10 takes effect. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the mouth confession made in salvation, heart believing in the righteousness. Whosoever shall call upon the name of verse 13 of the Lord shall be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, meet with Christ at Calvary. In Romans 10:9-10, this is our there. Romans 13 is our there. Whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. Now I want to tell you, as I look at these others, I want to go back and have a conclusion. And you hear what I'm fixing to say, and you understand why I'm going to say it. If Jeremiah had not gone to the potter's house, he would not have ever understood the fire that shut up in his bones and what God was saying about that potter's wheel. If Naaman had not gone where the prophet had told him to go, he would have never have got a healing from leprosy. Mark it down. He never would have. If Moses had not gone to the cliff of the rock, he would have never seen God's back, and not even sure whether he ever got the Ten Commandments or not, because each step leads to obedience to get to where God wants you to be. If Joseph's brethren had not gone down to Egypt, his family would not have been there. And if Joseph himself hadn't gone to Egypt, his family wouldn't have went there and been treated like they were treated. They might have been forced to go because of the family, but they wouldn't have been treated like they were treated, I tell you that. If Elijah had not gone to the brook Cherith, he would not have been fed by the ravens, and he might have died of famine. If he had not gone to Zarephath when the brook dried up, he would not have met the widow woman whom God used to sustain him after the brook dried up. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this thing of believing God and obeying God is serious business. In our day, though, we think, well, you know, I'm God's child. He knows me. He knows everything about me. Lord, I can't do this now. I can't do that. You better get off of that track and say, Lord, let me understand. My there may be right where you got me and what I'm doing. And therefore, dear God, let me understand that's God's will for my life. And I look through and I see, please hear this. If Jesus had not gone there to Calvary, we will not have the right of the tree of life so that we can live with God for eternity. If one does not trust Jesus Christ and what He did there at Calvary, he's lost forever. Well, preacher, I can't believe that. Listen, you better listen. When God puts a there somewhere or another, and that's what He says to do, we better listen as human beings. Well, it might be another way. Not according to what God said, because there at Calvary, Jesus paid the debt. Amen. He paid the sin debt. It's important in life. The question is, are you there? If not, don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Move forward in faith and obey God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, well, I've already done that. If you are there then you are in for a great blessing from God because Jesus is there with you. Mark it down. He said, I'll never leave you forsaken. How in the name of heaven can we look at what He's done for us and then we in turn have no time much for Him this side of eternity? Friend, do not be afraid to go there to Calvary in your mind. Listen to what God has done. When the Spirit of God that pounds in your heart the truth of God's Word, and He says, you're lost and undone. But look at the Savior who loved you so much. Look at what Jesus did. Left the palaces of glory and came to this earth and tabernacle among men. Became the Lamb of God that we might be able to go there and live with Him forever. There's a song in the book. The song book goes, meet me there. Meet me there. Where the tree of life is blooming. Meet me there. When the storm of life are o'er. On the happy golden shore. Where the faithful part no more. Meet me there. God's house is my body. But the church building is the place to meet with other Christians in God's presence. And that's where God said, meet me there. Don't forsake yourself from the assembly of God's house. Meet me there. I promise you I'll meet with you. If you'll listen rather than just hear, I'll bless you. I'll reward you. I'll help you grow. I'll give you insight. I'll give you spiritual understanding. I'll give you everything you need. All you've got to do is act upon it. Amen. You may take some time. You may have to be encouraged along. But the best place in the world to be is in the center of my will. Meet me there. Oh, how many souls will perish because they will not meet Jesus there at Calvary. How many souls that are end up in hell, the lake of fire, because they absolutely refuse to meet Christ at Calvary. And when I use Calvary, I mean in our mind, because you know what I'm talking about. Everything He did around Calvary is how you and I got saved. Oh, how many get out of God's will for their life because they use poor judgment changing their service and don't even know if it's God's will or not. God's word gives principles for making godly decisions about our there. And after salvation, God must change our there, not us. We can't change it. If we change it without God setting us a new there, then we will end up getting out of God's will sooner or later because we've already made an act to get out of God's will. There being the center of God's will, I want to tell you, everything that's centered around Calvary, what God did there, is showing us how much He loved us. And He cries out to me and to you and the human race, take my word. I made a promise. Just as I promised Elijah by the brook Cherith, there I commanded the ravens, not somewhere else on Jordan, not one of the lakes of Damascus, but the brook Cherith. The brook dried up. Go to Zarephath. I don't know if the woman even knew how that God was doing it, but I know He was preparing her. And I'm sure once she made the cake for Elijah and she saw that every time she went back, she had a little more, a little more. She didn't mind making all. She'd say, hey, I'll make all the cakes you want. Amen. The more I make, the more I've got. That's amazing. But had he not gone to Zarephath, he'd have never had the woman that God had prepared for him. If you do not go to Calvary, like God said, which is His there, and most of us in here, but those listening by the radio and anyone else, if you do not go to Calvary, you'll miss the there. Because there's no other name given under heaven whereby a man can be saved. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's His there. The very perfect, absolute center of God's will. Unless we listen to Him and meet Him where He says for us to meet Him, He's not going to change it. Even when we see people stand before God before the great white throne judgment, and suddenly they realize how they missed it and begin to weep and bitter. Tears will not move God's heart in that day, for He's a God of justice. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're literally cast into the lake of fire. Why? They missed His there. They missed where He was at. Seer's been His Father in heaven. I want to thank You, Lord, for the study of this. What an eye-opener. What an eye-opener. I want to thank You, Lord. Please help me stay there. The center of Your will. Help me, God, to see what I need to see, Your face in it, be what I need to be, so I'd be in Your there. That's where God would be at. His word is unbroken. He makes a promise. He keeps it. Sad part about it is, though, we think sometimes God's like us. We make promises. Situations come up we didn't expect. We change the promise we made. And because of that, at that time, we understand, Lord, that things get in the way at times and causes us to change our way of thinking. Help us realize that, Lord, we must not change our there unless You change it for us. And if it is, You'll show us. There's a reason why You change are there. In Elijah's place, the brook dried up. The ravens could bring the food, Lord, but they didn't have the water now. So God changed Elijah's there to Zarephath. He had someone waiting for him to take care of his need. I'm so glad after 49 years of serving You, Lord, I know You're going to take care of our needs. What a blessed God we have. Help someone see that today. You've taken care of the church's needs. There's not a one in this building today who doesn't know that you've taken care of their needs. We thank you for that. Help us never make a foolish gesture or a mistake and get out of God's will and try to change the there where God's at in our own energy. Please help us, Lord. Save souls near as hell who think they can get there some other way. Help someone, Lord, to be in heaven today because of the message, either here or by the radio. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.